Welcome to Harmonious Workplaces, a podcast about corporate culture, organizational change management, and workplace behavior. Harmonious Workplaces was started by independent consultants Rich Cruz, Ben Kleinman, and Cheryl Volpe to explore, challenge, and build on various organizational culture and change management concepts. It's a blend of theory and practice based on their personal and professional experiences working with companies of all sizes across various industries. If you own a business, lead a team, want new ideas about the corporate environment, or just want to listen to a group of consultants talking about how to make work more enjoyable, we invite you to sit back, relax, and dive in with us to Harmonious Workplaces. And welcome back, everyone, to Harmonious Workplaces, the podcast where we talk about change leadership, organizational development, IO psychology, and a whole bunch of other things related to people at work. And we are today in our 10th podcast episode. So that, that's all of our fingers, right?
There you go.
Very good. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about countering change fatigue. And as usual, I am joined by Cheryl Volpe. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
And Ben Kleinman.
Hey.
And I'm Rich Cruz, and we're going to talk again about change fatigue. So that's change fatigue, change lethargy, burnout. We hear this a lot today, right? These are real feelings that can cause significant decreases in employee motivation, engagement, productivity, adoption of the change, you know, all of that, and then impacting their own quality of life and how they do their job and how they interact with each other in the job and with customers, and ultimately their risks to the company's brand, profitability, and sustainability. So we need to, you know, like all other adversities, we need to recognize and acknowledge them, and then we can address them, right? So the first thing is know that you have a problem and then fess up to it, right? So, but with a little bit of intentionality, some listening, and some of the tips that we're going to share today, we can counter change fatigue and burnout and bring people to a happier, more harmonious workplace. So what do you say, folks?
Let's do it. Let's dig in. I like it. Yeah. And just to be clear, in your lead-in, which is great, Rich, I think there's benefits to thinking about change fatigue ahead of time. And it's not all about just your company's bottom line or your division's P&L. It's about the people as well. And so you want to make sure that from a personal perspective, people are bringing their whole selves to work, but also just that they are able to be their whole selves in their lives as well, because we all know that if you're burned out at work, if you're frustrated at work, if you have a bad day, that carries over into the rest of your life, and sometimes in an outsized way. So we want to recognize that and make sure that it's not happening, at least as far as we can control at work. You know, there's all sorts of ways we can help tamp that down.
Yeah.
Mitigate it. Sure. And like you said, a lot of it comes back to that intentionality. And many of the things I think that we'll wind up digging into today are going to sound very familiar and resonate with a lot of folks who may have listened to some of our episodes, just because they're timeless truths. I think we keep coming back to things that we've seen work really well, and we know they work. We've tested them ourselves and we've seen them have good results. And it's all about just being intentional and listening as a starting point. And I keep coming back to this idea, Cheryl, that you probably brought up podcasts ago, long ago in our podcast history around psychological safety. And we'll come into that as well. So, let's dig in.
For sure.
I think Rich, you look like you're about to say something.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. There was an idea that kind of came through. I was reading this article about how ChatGPT could help counter conspiracy theory, and people who believe in conspiracy theories seem to have a positive reaction to interacting with ChatGPT just for three or so back and forth. And so it wasn't an hours long intervention. And the reason I bring this up is because, not that we're going to talk about change theory, that's not what our podcast is about, but because it seemed like that was a really interesting use of that ChatGPT technology, mm-hmm. and it could be something that we see used to counter change reluctance or change resistance that we talked about on a prior podcast. So I don't want to go there again. I know we've talked about that before, but what was really interesting was that in just, like I said, about three back and forths, you had this paper showing that ChatGPT was able to help conspiracy theorists change their perspective.
Yeah,
these are most people that they were working with were people who were very strongly rooted in a conspiracy theory. So it wasn't just people who were dabbling. They were pretty well rooted. And so what they found, the researchers found, is that after these few back and forths, that what seemed to be the trigger to get people to change, or the initiating factor that got people to change their thinking about a conspiracy theory. And it held just not just for the rest of that afternoon or a week later, but they looked in like 2 months later, the people still had that new belief. They weren't rooted in that conspiracy theory. What I think they found helped was that ChatGPT would just, in a very neutral, very fact-based, very personalized way, respond to someone's statements about why they believed in a conspiracy theory. So the ChatGPT was essentially a very neutral, non-emotional, fact-based, but yet very personalized and almost intentional, if you will, way to respond and react and sort of counter and nudge someone into a less conspiracy belief place and more of a traditional thinking, mainstream thinking type of place. And so what I thought was maybe one of the things we talked about on prior episodes, specifically around change resistance, change reluctance, had to do with how do you scale that? Because we know that one-on-one or a very small group, it is possible to get people to be less resistant to change. We didn't really have a great solution to scale that outside of that building change agent, change network type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What about using ChatGPT to help scale that? So if you're someone who's a little bit reluctant to change or resistant, outright resistant to change, put them in front of a chat agent or some sort of chatbot that you've tuned, or put them in front of ChatGPT that you've prompted, help them work through that with the computer. There's something about that neutrality with a computer that I think helps keep people a little bit grounded from going into that super emotional, charged emotional place. So it got me thinking about, could we do something like that using ChatGPT or some technology as a way to counter change fatigue? I don't think it's quite as direct. The literature that I was seeing was suggesting that it wasn't quite as direct as something like conspiracy theory changing or change resistance changing or change reluctance changing. But it seemed like there might be something to using ChatGPT to help people think about adapting to a situation where they're feeling burned out, or a situation where they're feeling like they're just, I can't do another change this week. I got my day job. I'm so backed up on these reports, or I'm so backed up on this customer order. I just got to focus on that. I can't deal with another change. I don't think it's quite as easy as something like the change reluctance to counter. But I do think that there's something about that personalized back and forth that might help in the way that it gives someone almost like a personal counselor. And it just says, if I can just vent at this computer and just get it all out, maybe the computer gives me a little bit of personal reflection, or some like, I hear you. Here's one thing you could try if you wanted to today. Just take 2 minutes and breathe, or go outside and beat a pillow for 5 minutes and then come back inside. Something like that, that might help people feel like they've got a buddy that would help them with the change fatigue.
Sure.
I know I've been talking for all of our podcasts so far. What are your thoughts? Any reactions? Setting all that aside, what do you guys think about how to combat change fatigue, how to combat burnout? Because I'm sure that's a huge thing in the OD and IO field.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cheryl, did you have any thoughts?
What you're suggesting with the ChatGPT, Ben, based on the things that you've read, is it's fascinating because it takes, I know we're not going to go too much further down this path, but one of the things that people are resistant to about AI is that impersonal, that element that's missing. There is no human in it, breathing human beings, right. Which that neutrality is what a therapist or a counselor is supposed to have. And maybe those, as you said earlier, when we were talking before the show, which I loved, I meant to go back to it with you, these micro challenges to things like conspiracy theories, there's no threat there. There's no antagonism coming if it's, AI saying to you, have you considered this,
Right, exactly.
But there's so much more to it. There's so many more things. You would have to go into the conversation knowing that a robot is going to begin trying to influence you in a different direction. So you have to be ready for that. And I know that's not what we're talking about, but
yeah,
it relates to fatigue. In a environment where you're working with a team, that fatigue can sometimes lead to people feeling disengaged, back channeling, even some gossip or some toxic back channeling.
Yeah, it can muck up the team dynamic that you've worked so hard to build.
Right. And if there was a way to scale up those one-on-one conversations where, let's just say, there is psychological safety, the team is strong, the leaders are accessible, the doors are open, and everyone can sit together, or just one-on-one leader employee who is upset. That's ideal, right? You're getting tired of change, please come see me and we'll work it through, see how we can make this better. But that's not really how it often rolls out. Mm-hmm. So if you had, and maybe there are people who are way more advanced than we are in the whole AI thing, there was probably modes or modules of AI that are in existence already for this. But I love the concept and where you're, the direction you're looking in with that, Ben. It's fascinating.
I know there's a lot of folks that use or are exploring the use of AI for mental health care, especially in areas where there aren't live practitioners. Telehealth really spurred a lot of that during the COVID lockdown and all that kind of stuff. Some of the changes in the reimbursement in the US here, the reimbursement for Medicare and Medicaid, spurred a lot of opening of those doors. Therapists could get paid for treating people. Some of the licensing things changed during COVID so that there could be more outreach. A lot of that, I think, opened the door a crack to people being willing to do some kind of behavioral mental health type of care on a computer with a human in a distant, as opposed to just sitting chair to chair. I think where AI can come in is people are starting to get used to that mentality. And now they can do it with, instead of a human to human on screen, they can do it with human to computer on screen. And I think that there are some companies that are working on that type of stuff now. There are the usual concerns about the chatbot or the AI tool having hallucinations or saying the wrong thing or suggesting something that's out and out unhealthy. Those will get sorted out eventually as these tools become better, as they become more efficient, more effective, and more fit for purpose. I feel like we're kind of getting to a place where, at least for that frontline stuff where it's not life-threatening, where it's more like that burnout at work or change fatigue or reluctance to change, resistance to change, those are the kinds of things where it's relatively safe, where you're not worried about someone harming themselves or harming others quite yet. It's really, those are, I think, some of the lower hanging fruit where a tool could help that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, now I know one of the, from SHRM, the Society of Human Resources Management, right?
I think that's our first acronym of the day. We've gone about 13, 14 minutes, and that's our first.
It's the first one?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
My students at school, in college here, it is just like I'm bombarding them with acronyms all day long.
Wow.
So I want to talk about fatigue. I have to be very
acronym fatigue. I love it. You've just coined a new term in the liturgy.
I guess so.
Somebody's going to have a whole PhD thesis around acronym fatigue.
Acronym fatigue. Yep.
What's the acronym for that?
RICH.
All right. Oh,
thanks, Cheryl. Appreciate
I'm sitting here going acronym fatigue syndrome. A-F-S,
most people get a star named after like, them. R-I-C-H. I get an affective disorder named after me. Thank you.
I'm jealous, actually.
I'm jealous. Sure.
Cheers.
Sorry, Rich. We totally derailed. Go for it.
No, that's great. No, I So, yeah, one of the things that Sherm talked about earlier this year, and I've referenced it a few times in the blog at harmoniousworkplaces.com, shameless plug, is that employers are worried about employee well-being, right? Yeah. They are, and that makes a heck of a lot of sense because the employees are worried about that too. So this, you know, kind of, it's not avoidance of burnout. It's actually, you know, acknowledging it and then offering, you know, solutions to that. There are wellness programs out there. Magellan Health, which my wife actually has through her school, they offer like even cognitive behavioral therapy as a more of a course. It's not with a live person. It's a self-guided kind of multi-step tour, right? And then you have other apps that are out there, like Clarity and Mindfulness, the Mindfulness app, which is my personal favorite, and Headspace, right? All of these have these kind of not just guided meditations, but there are kind of these kind of journeys that you can kind of take, right? So they're self-guided meditation type of things, right? So I think that employers have opportunities to adopt some of these, or at least steer employees towards some of these things that can help to overcome this burnout that they're feeling when it's, you know, part of the issue is you're in a change process. Nobody wants to change. There's this resistance that we've talked about before. And then there's also the other part of it, which is the flywheel's going and we just keep doing one change project after another, after another, after another, which is kind of where I'm at with one of these projects I'm working on right now, where it started off being, we're just going to do software training. And we found out that we need to do integration and we need to do this and we need to do that. And everybody needs to learn how all that works together. So we work together. Right. So I'm going to address this today, you know, at this meeting. I wouldn't use a chatbot because I think we need everybody to share their feelings and feel safe about sharing their feelings together. But I like this idea of being able to leverage some kind of an automation, even if it's a programmed automation of how do you feel? And there's a journey towards, you know, some level of where you're feeling better about it, or you get to this area and then I still need to talk to somebody and
I'm just thinking that.
Schedule that.
Right. It helps you. It's kind of like press one to talk to someone about your mortgage loan, press two to talk to someone about your checking account, press three to talk to someone about your investment brokerage account, whatever that is. And so it's the same kind of thing. It sort of helps you triage a little bit and get to the right therapist or the right person to talk to or the right manager.
Before you press a nine to get to the live person, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're good, where you have to realize
press nine
to get there, you're going to be waiting on hold, or you're going to have this, you know, this lengthy, you know, period of, I got to schedule something or whatever. You know, can I relieve my burnout by, you know, sharing my feelings either virtually here or at least, you know.
Yeah, and there are ways you can, sometimes even just, you know, when I'm calling somewhere and I'm on hold for a while and it gives me that option, do you want to have us call you back? You won't lose your place in line. Just let us know. We'll call you. That just, there's something that's so reassuring about that I don't have to just sit on hold. And I know that they'll call me back. And even if it's not within the hour or two that they say they're going to, even if it's just later that day, there's something psychologically about knowing that I'm not just sitting there wasting my time and that they're going to get to me. They have an order. They're going to get to me. That kind of just moment, I wonder if there's something that's just nice enough about that would start that process of like, okay, somebody's starting to listen to me. I can start to let go of this burden that I'm carrying. You know, there's that just tip of the, and it doesn't solve everything, but it's just that initial moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also scales of urgency, right? If you trust it, right?
Yeah.
You have to trust that system will in fact do as it says it will do. You know, if you're hemorrhaging, you absolutely can't wait for someone to call you back. So there is an economy of scale of urgency in that.
That's a good point.
When they play the classical music while you're waiting, that is supposed to sort of relax you a little bit. I also want to be, sometimes it antagonizes you. Again, if you're hemorrhaging, there's no amount of classical music going to soothe your soul at that point. But also wanted to put on the table between the three of us right now, we're not suggesting that that human element could be replaced or that it should be. These are just suggestions at tools to make that relief more scalable, that one-on-one relief that cannot be immediately accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for clarifying that. It's an assistance. It's a way to help humans do what humans need to do with each other and for each other. It's not the be-all end-all necessarily. One of the questions I was going to ask is, since we're talking about all these automated tools, have any of you interacted with them as a employee or as a potential CBT counselee or as a user of these tools? I mean, we've been talking about it from the perspective of the company offering these things. I've never played with one of these things as a potential patient or as a potential employee. So I have no idea how it would feel or how it would work. Have either of you had experience with that?
Yes, I have.
How did it work? How did it go?
It was actually quite helpful because I could get that immediate care that I wasn't waiting to go see somebody and have that. That interaction. So talk about a level of being comfortable with it, right? Or trusting it. Let me put it that way. Right? Like you said, Cheryl, you got to trust it, right? There is a level of validity, meaning it is actually treating this issue that you have, right? And then reliably being able to do that. So, statistically being able to help people, there are some valid and reliable measurements that they use. The nice part about doing something that's digital in that sense is that you do get analytics and there's statistics and so you can see, over time, how that's helping people. You can see by this population how many people have expressed that they have been helped. And we do actually see similar types of operations in HRIS systems, human resource information systems, right?
Second acronym today.
But you see, these kind of, being able to manage your talent using data, right? So we see it in mental health, but we also see it, on the job as well. How those are all integrated, it's going to vary by the organization. I mean, small organizations that I've worked with don't have anything like that per se. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, some personal health, PHI, personal health information that you really cannot share with your employer or shouldn't share with your employer, so you have to be somewhat cognizant of that too. I have used some of those technologies on my own personal care level. I have not used that type of thing, within the context of a job per se.
Sure. Activity through my smartwatch. I just signed up for an app through my husband's company that's helping me get through some shoulder pain. It's reminding me to stretch when I don't listen to it. However, I am starting to get a little bit nervous about, is something going to accumulate background that she hasn't done it, So there's all of those other,
big sisters watching.
Right. It's a constant battle with that, right? Where is, when I log in and I do this exercise, we all love that data, right, Rich? Uh-huh. We love that analysis, but we just don't want us to be in it. We don't want it to be our data.
That's true.
Like it's that push pull. So
yeah, yeah. It's great until you're like, wait a second, that blip is me.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Your name's not on it. I guess it's all right. But anyway, that's a whole
different. Let me see if I can. Oh, sorry, Rich, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, Ben. What were we gonna say?
I was just gonna start to see if we could rally some of these things into a cohesive thought about what our current thinking is, and then where we might recommend people to take this if they're thinking about change fatigue or change burnout, things like that. Sure. So it seems like a lot of what we're seeing is that the causes of change fatigue might just be this overwhelm of so many things going on, so many constant change initiatives. A lot of it probably boils down to lack of psychological safety, feeling like people can express their concerns with the amount of change or with the type of change or with the new role they have. So there's some psychological safety there. Some of it may have to do with organizations who have sort of lost the thread of that change. They haven't gone back to that kernel of why they need to do it, why they're doing that change. Right. Maybe they haven't prioritized enough of their changes so that they're just doing everything all at once. They've sort of lost the plot of that, and they don't have enough people throughout the organization who are these trusted people that everyone can go to with concerns or challenges, things like that. Does that kind of make sense from a, like, why these things might have, why people might be feeling burned out or feeling like they have fatigue around change? Is that
consistent
with what we've been saying?
Totally.
Absolutely.
And
that loss of purpose is a key factor there for sure.
There's a Forbes article that I put in the show notes here that was done by somebody in the Cotter Institute, right? And so John Cotter, we've talked about his 8 stages of change, several times on this podcast. But the author here says, that lack of clarity of priorities from leadership, the sense of overwhelm where leaders don't consider trade-offs, or I would say maybe not even trade-offs, but ways for people to mitigate that overwhelm, right? The loss of why of that change initiative, which we often see in the middle phase of Bridges transition model, which is the neutral zone, where people start to feel like everything's in flux and they're confused and they're stressed, right? So, and then not developing enough of a network of support, which we've talked about over and over again, right? And so we've got these human elements, these human interventions that we can do for each one of those, right? But I do think that, just thinking about our conversation today, there are some ways I think that leveraging the right tool or tools, even offering some technology to help people express or work through and be mindful about what they're, what they're feeling. There are some technological tools that using artificial intelligence or at least automation, to help people express that type of thing. But I also think that
and to me, it comes back to, again, some of the things we just seem to be reinforcing that I think we keep coming back to because they're so true. Being intentional, if we're going to offer a technology solution, let's know why we're doing it and let's roll it out with a purpose and say, this is what it can do. This is what it cannot do. This is what we're hoping it will help you with. We're not guaranteeing. We don't know exactly whatever that is. We want to do this to help you. So there's an intentionality about it, recognizing that this is something that may happen and we're offering these supports to help you prepare for that. There's also that intentionality around listening that we talked about, helping to reinforce that psychological safety. Tailoring your communications is where a tool might help in that one-to-one or that personalized situation. And then, like you were saying, Cheryl, just coming back to that why, the overall, why are we doing this? Let's keep it factual. Let's keep it unemotional. Let's be enthusiastic about the change. What's the bigger picture? That kind of stuff. And just that truthfulness and transparency.
I also think there's a lot of potential in empowering or providing an opportunity for employees to feel empowered if they are given a tool that they can trust, right? This puts the control into your hands. You've got options, right? You decide where you are in the grand scheme of dealing with this change. Are you mastering it? Are you fine? Have you moved on? Have you adapted, incorporated all of that? Or are you somewhere in that middle transition where it's murky, confusing, and you're stressed? This tool will enable you to either schedule that one-on-one, because you are in the worst case scenario, or gives you an opportunity to even stand out as a person who's mastered it. Here's my tool. I don't need any help, and I'm going to let everybody know that I'm cruising.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. And that makes sense, because there's a big part of the stress, burnout, all that people feel is this loss of control. By giving them that empowerment, they get that control, their self-confidence goes up, you know, it's self-efficacy, and the motivation starts to rise, right? So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. Worst case would be if help is asked for and is not responded to.
Oh boy, yeah.
Backfires and things.
Yeah, being left in a lurch is nobody's idea of a good time, that's for sure. Yeah.
So in a way, when Ben gets back, he'll see how far we spiral down into something. And leaders have to be open to adapting the change and making the change with this, offering this tool to the employees. That has to be reliable. So that's a change for leadership.
Yeah, for sure.
To adapt to, right?
For sure. Yeah, leaders have to be, we've talked about it before, but leaders have to be on board with the change, but also be part of the change. And that means maybe changing themselves as leaders, changing their leadership style, changing how they interact with their peers at that leadership level, changing how they interact with their teams and people that report up to them, or people that report up to someone else in a different function. If it's done right, it's all interwoven and interleaved.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this tool we're suggesting would be a change for leaders to adapt to use well.
Well, there's a whole other, and maybe that brings us to wrapping up this episode, because I think that would be something to talk about. We've mentioned technology a few times to help facilitate change, but talking about, if you introduce technology, ChatGPT, a chatbot, automation, whatever, that is going to be its own change project within your change project. And you're going to have people who you're going to have to, you know, guide through that as well. So, you know, that having been said,
we talked about one of our prior episodes, we talked about the change of the change, about how a change management initiative might have to adapt or alter as it goes. But now we're talking about the change within the change, or the change of the change, or the change of how that is. Like, there's so many changes going on, your head just starts to
change.
But that's why consultants like us exist. That's what we do. We help people carry on through that and figure out how to deal with that.
Well said, Ben. Awesome.
I love it.
Well, yeah. I think we're about at time, everyone. Thanks a million for tuning in to the Harmonious Workplaces podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm Rich Cruz with
Ben Klein. Cheryl.
And Cheryl will be there. Sorry. You know what? I can't do this pointing thing, because it doesn't matter. You're not seeing what I see.
Right. Actually, you did have that. You were pointed to Ben on my screen.
Oh, I was. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Okay.
But you know, I maybe as we leave it, we'll, if there are folks who have used the interactive tools for anything at work and they're comfortable sharing their reactions to that, not the details necessarily, but just, was it helpful? Was it not helpful? Did it get you to some level of resolution with whatever your thing was? Or did it leave you hanging? that sort of feedback would be really interesting to start gathering, seeing if we could, if we can track some of that.
So if you're hearing us on YouTube or watching us on YouTube, leave us some comments in the comment section below. Also on your favorite streaming services, you'll find us on Spotify.
Yeah. Or just Apple. Comment direct message on LinkedIn or whatever.
Or direct message on LinkedIn would be super.
We're all out there. Right.
Love it.
All out there. Right on. Okay. Well, thank you both. Thanks again, everyone.
Fun times.
Great, great conversation. And we will see you all very, very soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to Harmonious Workplaces. You can find Harmonious Workplaces on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other streaming platforms. We'd love any feedback on whatever channel you find us on. Please rate, like, and share our podcast with your network. And remember to add Harmonious Workplaces to your list of favorites to get notified about each new episode. To contact Rich or Cheryl, please visit www.workbalanceconsulting.com. To connect with Ben, find him on LinkedIn or visit at www.harborsidestrategy.com.